the first degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
First degree.
The first degree.
These things are supposed to happen in movies, not in real life.
I think the most tragic piece of this would have to be just the vulnerability of that Sammy had. I guess the situation she was put in, and it's such an easy one that anyone would do. Any person with a child, with a niece, a nephew, even someone says they need you and you go. Obviously, you don't go thinking you're going to get killed.
Hey guys, welcome to the First Degree, the true crime podcast that you might end up on. My name is Jack Vanek. I'm sitting across from my co-hosts, Alexis Linkletter and Billy Jensen. And we were just chatting before we started recording. Well, no, we were looking through our reviews because Alexis is a maniac and likes to look at our podcast reviews.
I was actually just Googling myself because I'm a psycho.
A narcissist?
Not a narcissist. I just, you know, psychopath. I'm sure we all do it. I know everyone who's listening has done it. And I came across something that I don't look at the reviews because Jack has a thing on our keychain that says don't look at the comments, and I don't look.
Yeah, until you do.
Until I do, because someone quoted me by full name in their comment headline, which came up when I Googled myself.
So
what did it say?
The headline, I don't know if this is the same one, because the headline for that one was Alexis Linkletter must be stopped. Right?
Yes.
Okay. But
Hollywood, take note.
So I decided to screenshot a few reviews to just, you know, replay on the podcast. So I don't know if this is the same one, because it says Alexis Linkletter needs to ... Here's the thing. Great content. Awesome cast. However, it might also be Alexis Linkletter ASMR audition tape.
Oh.
She breathes heavily into the microphone as if she swam 14 laps around an Olympic-sized pool. And to top it off, her lip smacking / eating while recording is not only unprofessional, but utterly disgusting. Please stop. You're making a decent podcast unbearable.
First of all.
Thoughts?
Thoughts are, you can't tell who's lip smacking or eating. It's not just me. Second of all, the only reason the content is halfway decent is because I kill myself. So thank you for the compliment in the content. And that's all I'm going to say.
I really like that. You spun it around.
That's
yeah.
Right.
You because spun it around. Was, I mean, we did have sound issues in the beginning, which, whatever. We didn't know what we were doing. We wanted to.
It was a new podcast. We didn't have the right equipment.
Well, we had an amazing concept and we did what we had to do to make it. And I will take the criticisms and say thank you. I will work on
lemon.
It.
Lemonade from lemon.
I will work on
it. She's made some lemonade. So off of that, Billy, what day is it?
There's a lot to choose from this day.
It is
what's
March.
What's A&R? ABR?
ASMR. It's like people that get tingles from like certain sounds. So
yes.
It's like, holy shit. Do you guys think, listeners, I have a career in that? You might.
You very well might.
This person thinks that you do.
Oh my God, thank you.
Maybe they
it's
would.
It's a better even compliment than I thought.
Maybe they'd listen to your ASMR podcast of your heavy breathing.
I didn't even know that was, and I'm going to cash in. Thank you.
You should. Okay. Billy.
So it is Quirky Country Music Song Titles Day.
Ooh.
And as you know, a lot of country music songs deal with murder.
Oh, they do.
Don't Take Your Guns to Town by Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. Folsom Prison Blues by Johnny Cash. Basically a lot of Johnny Cash songs when it comes down to it. Yeah. The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. There's a lot. Cocaine Blues, again, by Johnny Cash. So there's that is a, you know, quirky, certainly. I mean, murder songs that, and country music is one of those things that there are more songs about murder in country music than really any other thing, even Norwegian death metal, which actually does the murder themselves, if you ever want to Google it.
Interesting.
So that's the one that I'm picking out of all of them. It's also National Manatee Day.
It's a manatee.
Manatee?
Manatees are the most incredible mammal.
I do love a manatee.
They are like fat little, they're like fat seals, but they don't really swim. They just float on the surface of the water. India, Africa, Florida, where you can find them, the Caribbean. And those who drive boats with propellers, you guys are the biggest
manatee killers?
Manatee injurers because they float up there, not they don't really swim. They're very buoyant.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys hit them with your speedboats and it really hurts them. But they are just lovely, gentle
they
creatures.
They truly are like the puppies of the sea.
Yeah, they're like they're the cute. There's nothing like it. There's no land mammal like it.
There is nothing
they're
like
so
it.
They're so cute.
All right. Well, happy Manatee Day, guys. And let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Do we not have a question?
No, I feel like I replaced the question with the
You replaced the question with the reviews about,
honestly,
yes.
A review a day excites me.
I kind of like the review a day,
and we'll
too.
Rotate with the criticisms, except we might be reaching to find one about Billy.
I know.
He's the golden child.
It's all the bad criticisms are...
Me and Jack.
Billy is so wonderful. It sucks he has to dumb himself down for the other two
and
girls.
And it's like... You're welcome, Billy, is the truth of the matter. We won't get into it, but thanks.
No, that is. Guys, I would be nothing without Jack and Alexis. Let's just.
Thank you.
No, but you know what's interesting right is now. That like it's all women dragging us down. It hurts my feelings.
I know.
And sticking it for Billy. And I'm just like, dude, where's your
camaraderie?
We're all working really hard.
We're all just trying to bust our ass, you know, and make something of ourselves.
We're doing our best. So
we're trying.
Yeah, we're trying. But anyways, Billy.
Take it away.
Take it away.
So today's case, takes place in Manchester Township in Wrightsville, Pennsylvania, which is a small town along the Susquehanna River.
That's true. So we're dealing essentially with the suburbs of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Is what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So on April 19th, 2015... At 4:25 p.m., the Wrightsville Borough Police were called to the 100 block of Chestnut Street by a woman named Angelica, who was worried about her sister Sammy Young and what was happening with her.
So the home in question belonged to a 21-year-old named Marcus Bordelon, and he was the father of Sammy's one-year-old baby. Sammy didn't show up for work, and her sister went looking to see where she was. Because Sammy was a super responsible girl, not showing up to work was like super uncharacteristic of her. And Angela knew that her sister Sammy would have been at this house because it's the home of her baby's father. And Marcus had the baby the previous night, so Sammy would have come at some point to pick her up. And when she gets to the house, Marcus is behaving super strangely and refuses to let her in. And that's when she decided to call the police.
Which makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm just seeing where
you
Sammy
don't know where
is.
Your sister is.
Yeah.
And you go to the boyfriend's house. He's acting really fucking weird. Like, makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the cops arrive. They approach the home. They look inside. They find Marcus. He's on the floor with a knife and a stun gun next to him. Marcus and Sammy's one-year-old daughter, Artia, was also in the home in another room. And that's not all. So Marcus was covered in blood. And there were pools of blood all over the floor, which it looked like he was attempting to clean up. So police rush into the home looking for Sammy. And they follow this trail of blood through the house and then outside of the house to this shed behind the house. And they find her body, which was half clothed, in a shed which was locked in the backyard. And it looked like she had been dragged into there.
So... the police could see clearly that Sammy had been stabbed many, many times. She had stab wounds and cuts all over her body, including clusters of stab wounds to her back and wounds to her neck, head, chest, arms, and legs. And an autopsy revealed that stab wounds penetrated her heart, both lungs, her liver, and her diaphragm, according to Dr. Michael Johnson, who was the forensic pathologist who conducted this autopsy. And it was ultimately concluded that she had suffered at least 49 stab wounds, possibly more. And I was reading that they had a hard time counting them because there were so many.
Oh, God. Jeez.
And he explained that these clusters of wounds they commingled pathways and they made it difficult to count the wounds with certainty, as I just mentioned. She also had many post-mortem injuries, as, you know, Billy mentioned, dragged face down from the home to the shed.
So Sammy's sister had already been at the scene. She was the one that called the cops. And this is obviously any family member's worst nightmare. And the news starts to spread to the rest of her family.
A homicide investigation is underway in York County from Wrightsville, where we know one woman is dead. Police have released the identity of that woman.
Police here in Wrightsville Borough were investigating a homicide that took the life of a daughter and a young mom.
For most of the evening, family and friends of Samantha Young stood near a crime scene, hoping their loved one was not a murder victim.
I just want to see my daughter. You know, just to make sure that is my daughter. I just want to see her.
Their worst fears were confirmed. According to the Wrightsville Borough Chief of Police, 21-year-old Samantha Young was found dead inside a home on Chestnut Street. Police say a person of interest has been placed in police custody. Samantha's dad, Theodore Young, is still trying to process losing his youngest child.
Oh, she's my baby, so, you know, she's a great mother. She's a great person, you know. Sometimes, you know, daughters things, so, you know, you got to get mad at them sometimes, but just all around great person.
Tonight, police are not releasing much information about this situation, and they have not released any information about the person of interest they have in custody right now.
So the victim in this case is Sammy Young. She was 21 years old. She had graduated from Eastern York High School in 2012. She played field hockey all 4 years of high school. She did art. She loved reading. She loved animals. She would always, you know, save animals. And the biggest thing was that she was the best mother that any child could ever ask for.
Right. And so the resident of the home that the police were called to was Marcus Bordelon. And he was immediately arrested and taken into custody and charged with Sammy's homicide. And right away, he starts confessing and laying out the disgusting, in my opinion, events that led to Sammy's murder. And let's start with how Sammy ended up in that home. So Marcus lured Sammy to his Chestnut Street home by telling her something was wrong with Artea, who's their one-year-old daughter who was visiting and staying with him the night before. And he told officers that he and Sammy ended up getting into a verbal argument that escalated when she was inside of the home. And when she tried to leave the house, he used a knife to keep her from leaving. And Sammy was initially subdued by the stun gun that Marcus had used on her. And he used it, obviously, from keeping her from running out of the house when she realized she was in danger.
Right. And we're going to kind of backtrack a little bit and get into the background of their relationship. So they started dating a few years prior, and Marcus ended up getting Sammy pregnant, which obviously makes the relationship more serious immediately. And 6 months before Sammy was murdered, Sammy and Marcus purchased the house that Marcus was living in together, the house in Wrightsville. But the stress of moving in, them being so young, and having a new baby caused things to get pretty contentious between the couple. And the police were called a couple times, citing domestic violence and incidences. And Marcus actually was arrested for slashing Sammy's tires after an argument that they had gotten into. So they lived in the same house for about a month before Sammy ended up moving back in her family. Marcus didn't want to break up, and Sammy was the one that ended up ending their relationship. But shortly after the breakup, Sammy started dating somebody new, a guy named James Horn, and Sammy was apparently pretty excited about the new relationship.
So after they break up, Marcus falls back into the arms of his old girlfriend, and they were sort of on again, off again. Her name was Natasha Stover. And Natasha has been described as kind, compassionate, polite. She worked at Pizza Hut as a part-time server, and she also attended college at Lebanon Valley College. She wanted to be a physical therapist. But when she became involved with Marcus, Natasha and her friend said she noticeably changed. She started becoming manipulative and abusive. And at the time, Natasha was dating Marcus, and police said that Marcus had multiple girlfriends at the same time.
So I can see this kind of guy from a mile away. He's like a high school fuckboy, where it's like, oh, you're messing with girls in different grades. You're making you feel crazy. And at the time,
he's probably like pitting the girls against
each
other.
You're 15, 16. Like, this happened all the time in my high school.
Right.
And they just grew up to be adult fuckboys, which is fine. They exist. We need them to appreciate the good ones. But I can see that that's obviously is what Marcus is.
Right.
So for our first degree connection today, we have Brooke, who was best friends with Natasha Stover growing up. And she was obviously also in the same school as Marcus and knew him as one of her best friend's boyfriends for many years.
Natasha was a really good friend growing up. We did a lot of sports together and also sang in our school choir together. And so She was really nice and sweet the whole time growing up, definitely. She was about my height, so she was pretty average height, 5'5", 5'6". She had a really strong body type. She also threw shot put and played softball, so you can kind of get that feel of how she looked that way. Growing up, like I said, really nice. Her family was always at all of our events, super caring. She was always definitely a little bit more insecure than kind of everybody else who I was friends with. But other than that, she pretty much fit right in. Can't say she had, I think Marcus might have been the first boyfriend that she had, and that always was something that bothered her kind of growing up. But other than that, she was pretty standard high school girl. I think I met Natasha in maybe second or third grade, and then this was all the way up in, I think, ninth grade is when she met him. I can't remember exactly too much about when it started, but I know that when she started talking about this relationship, everyone was a little bit confused. Marcus, in appearance, was a pretty small guy, and so just by high school standards, they didn't exactly physically, stand out as a couple that you would expect. And other than that, it was definitely a weird relationship. She kind of got overly involved in that, dove in headfirst into that. So she definitely got a little bit more removed the more or the longer that they dated. Remember, she talked about her and him having a lot of sex. And I mean, we were 14. That wasn't the norm, at least where I am from. Not too many of us were doing that. So nobody really had a lot of background or experience to kind of talk with her about that stuff. Like I said, she did sports year round. She was really into that. She was strong and athletic. She seemed really excited about her future and about all of that until she did get involved with Marcus. And then I think her dreams got a little smaller. But definitely it was strange. A lot of us didn't really get it, but we did just kind of listen. She seemed happy, so we didn't interfere too much. My older sister actually overlapped with all of us in high school for 1 year, and she was in a pretty different crowd than me. I did cross country and chorus and everything, and so I did a lot of the same things that Natasha was doing, and my older sister was kind of a stoner, so kind of wildly different sides of that spectrum. And weirdly enough, we both knew of Marcus mostly just because he kind of was pretty standoffish and gave everybody a strange vibe. So that was kind of the overlap that we had there. Like I said, he was kind of smaller in stature and really quiet. And I honestly went to school with him for a few years. Like I said, we lived in similar areas of our town. And I honestly, to this day, don't think I've ever heard him say any words. He's just really quiet. And the group that he hung out with was really outspoken and bubbly, and then he was just always kind of seemed like he was up to no good. He always had that kind of look on his face and just didn't ever say anything.
So obviously Natasha and Marcus seem to have one of these relationships that we've all kind of observed in high school, those people who are together throughout the duration of high school, mm-hmm. in this really tumultuous thing. And he obviously at some point cheats on her with Sammy, gets her pregnant, and he decides to actually try things with Sammy. And that's got to be kind of devastating. So I was curious, and I asked Brooke, I mean, that's upsetting. And how did Natasha handle that?
It seemed like Natasha thought that she was still with him. She talked about him cheating on her with these other girls, one of them being Sammy. But from the outside, it definitely looked like Marcus was with Sammy, but Natasha didn't seem to know that their relationship was over. She was definitely really upset about the pregnancy, and like I said, she felt like he was cheating on her. In hindsight, I think he probably was stringing her along a little bit. I think that he maybe didn't make it as clear as he should have that wasn't going to continue, especially if he was buying a house and having a baby with somebody else. It doesn't seem like he made that cut. Like, he told her, this is done, I'm doing this now. But yeah, she definitely didn't come to school every single day. She was visibly upset, a lot more withdrawn than she used to be. And I was at our high school prom in 2014, which I'm not sure exactly when Marcus actually graduated, but I know that he was supposed to graduate in 2012 and Sammy in 2012 as well from a different school. And I know that they had planned to be at that prom. So it was kind of a weird, they were still very much in high school, even though they were out of high school.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Okay, so that was kind of the layout of Natasha and Marcus's relationship. But let's refresh where we are now in the investigation. Marcus is in custody. Sammy has been murdered, stabbed to death multiple times. And the police are in the throes of kind of the preliminary investigation phase. And they're trying to wrap their heads around kind of this tangled web of relationships that Marcus has created and entangled himself in. So they know Marcus has a girlfriend named Natasha, you know, that he has a baby with Sammy. And, you know, she is the focus of this investigation. And of course, they want to speak with Natasha because they want to just know, they want to gather all the information they can. But it's becoming clear that Marcus is kind of dating several women at once, and they know that they have a lot to deconstruct.
Yeah, and as the interrogations are going on, a woman walks in. A young woman walks into the Wrightsville Borough Police Department, and her name is Lacey Sauer. And she says, you know what? I was dating Marcus. So, okay.
Another one.
I am dating.
My God. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm pregnant with Marcus's child.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
But that's not all. She says that, you know what? Marcus sent me a text message on April 18th, which said simply, quote, I'm going to kill someone.
So obviously, the next thing the cops do, they're pulling up his text records.
Because the April 18th is a day before Sammy's murder.
The murder, yeah.
Exactly.
So obviously what they find is going to be disturbing. And they first found these normal text conversations between him and Natasha. They're talking about dinner plans. They're talking about classes. And in between that, they find some texts about them conspiring to kill more than one person. And the first exchange that they find out, Marcus was asking Natasha about incapacitating someone with Demerol, which is a pain medication, in addition to chloroform. And then over the course of the next few months, they were conspiring to kill not only Sammy, but her boyfriend, James Horn. So those weren't the only two people that he was talking about killing. They're also talking about killing Lacey Sauer, the current girlfriend. Current other girlfriend.
Okay, so he's... He wants to kill Sammy, he wants to kill James Horn, and he wants to kill Lacey. Okay.
There were so many texts that I was just, like, shocked that... I mean, people make those little comments like, oh, I want to kill him, and you're just like, okay, because it's not... Most of the time, it's not serious. But then when it's a whole conversation with plans, it is definitely that feeling like, why did that never kick in? Like, hey, this is wrong. We're not actually going to do this. Or, and then also just kind of from the other side of things, devil's advocate, like it was just very obvious to leave that text trail. So that just struck me as odd too. That's like the easiest way to get yourself in trouble when you're planning all this horrible stuff, that it just seemed really disgusting, but also like kind of stupid at the same time, like not well thought out. It's not at all the person that I knew to be Natasha. And like I said, we kind of grew apart those last couple years in high school, just me being back and forth between where I lived then and my hometown. But that was just not at all the Natasha I knew. That wasn't something that I could ever even fathom her saying in seriousness or in just getting sucked into this. I really was shocked and almost in disbelief that she would be involved in that, not just like by chance, but kind of willingly and wantingly.
So the first plan that Natasha and Marcus seemed to have put any real thought into was this conspiracy to kill Sammy's boyfriend, James Horn. So per the text, it seemed that Natasha originally devised a plan to follow James home from the local bowling alley and kill him. Though the plan never came to fruition, police said that in preparation to carry out the plan, Marcus bought bleach, cable ties, a lock, and a baseball bat at a local Walmart.
Again, buying them all at the same time from the same store.
Listen, only buy a bat on your way to like the park to play baseball.
Yeah.
And then there's CCTV catching you to do it. Only buy a lock.
Don't even buy it.
He probably has a credit card too.
Or look around your house. You should have
bleach,
that stuff.
Borrow it from your mom. For the love of God.
We don't need to give anybody ideas, but yeah. Right.
So after picking up these supplies, he expresses his anger with Sammy and asks, can we do this thing soon? Like, let's go. And Natasha tells Marcus that she's fine with that, but told him to figure out Sammy's work schedule in order for us to start somewhere. So she wants a starting place for this to how are we going to kick this thing off? So Marcus sends Natasha a text, which says, I don't know who to do first. He actually says, IDK, who to do first, Lacey or Sammy. And in the message back, Natasha writes back that she knows that Marcus wants to kill Sammy more than Lacey, but that Natasha herself wants to kill Lacey more than Sammy. So this is your sort of typical lover spat when it comes to psychopathic lovers.
Insane.
So texting, she says to him, IDK, BK. So I don't know because I'll do this
IDK,
for you.
IDK, BK, you.
BC, yes. I don't know because you need me there, like for the other half with the car. So she's kind of laying it over him.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you know what?
Maybe this is, don't do it without me. You might need me.
Yeah, yeah. And so continuing with the conversation, Natasha tells Marcus that she doesn't want her to do it on by himself. She wants to be there. And the police are going to see them talking about the murder in their text messages, which they really should have talked about beforehand.
I mean, and then not also don't talk about that in the text messages. Don't talk about how police are going to see
don't
your text
about,
in the
don't
text.
Don't talk about Fight Club.
Yeah.
Right.
So she continues on insisting that the whole thing is going to take really, really careful planning. And to avoid getting caught, she warned him that, you know, you're going to be the prime suspect. So we really need to be careful with all of this.
So let's continue
as they're
text
talking
about it.
On text.
It's just insane.
Surreal.
So 2 days later at 12:50 in the morning, their texts are continuing. Marcus texted Natasha to say that Sammy was at his house and he asked, should I do it now? Natasha replied that she didn't know. Marcus then told Natasha that he can, quote, can do it now and leave from the basement and put her car in the carpool spot. Natasha said she didn't want him to do it alone. And in a series of following messages, she repeatedly asked Marcus to wait for her and warned that he would be caught. It's just so weird to beg somebody to want to be involved in a murder.
Yeah. Like, I want to do this.
Like, you need me. Don't do it without me.
Yeah, don't do it without me.
It's not like, don't go to this cool new bar without me.
You guys, it's like, I can't wait till we get to the point of this discussion where we get into the minds of these people because it's like they totally lost sight of reality.
It's odd.
It's very odd.
So then at 1:25 in the morning, Marcus sends a text saying, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm going to do it soon. And 8 minutes later, police say that he called Natasha and told her to come to his house.
So, all in all, the police found more than 15,000 texts between Natasha and Marcus discussing the planning of these murders
Oh my God.
Over the course of months. And unsurprisingly, after this, I mean, Marcus was already in custody. Natasha was arrested and charged for the part she played in Sammy's murder, too.
A second arrest is made in the death of a 21-year-old York County mother, and the details are disturbing.
This is the home where Samantha Young's body was found. It's boarded up now. Her ex-boyfriend lived here. He was arrested shortly after her death in April. But now police are saying this case involves several other people. Three people who could have also been killed, and one other who police say helped plan Young's death. Six pages is on the longer side for charging documents, but that's how much needs to be explained about the second arrest and the Samantha Young murder. The 21-year-old's body was found locked in a shed at her ex-boyfriend's home in Wrightsville in April. Marcus Bordelon was arrested. The two had a one-year-old daughter together. Now, Natasha Stover, also from York County, is locked up, charged with attempted homicide and conspiracy. Police paperwork outlines text messages between Stover and Bordelon, spanning 4 months, outlining the pair's plans to kill three people. James Horn was first. He was Young's new boyfriend. Police say the pair staked out his routines. Bordelon even bought bleach, cable ties, a lock, and baseball bat, according to police. Text messages retrieved on phones include, quote, "I just want this guy gone. I want her to feel how miserable I was when all of this happened." But then, the plan shifted to Young. Police say Stover was not at Bordelon's home when he killed Young, but did buy supplies to clean up blood and help move her car.
No comment.
A woman at Stover's home did not want to speak with us. A third almost victim, Lacey Sauer, did speak to us online. Documents say Bordelon and Stover also talked about killing her. She was Bordelon's current girlfriend, who is now pregnant. It's all just really tragic and scary. And tonight, now both Stover and Bordelon are in the York County prison.
So once Natasha was in police custody, they learned that Natasha went with Marcus to move Sammy's car after the murder to the park and ride along Route 30 in Pennsylvania after the murder. And she drove him to Home Depot to buy a bag of agricultural lime, 2 bricks, and 2 bottles of bleach to help clean the blood in the house. What do you do with lime and
What's
2 bricks?
What's agricultural
lime? Lime is what they use to lime to clean.
No. You use it to clean, but it also disintegrates. So
acid.
You put lime on bodies. It's kind of like acid, and then it.
What are the bricks for?
Yeah, I don't know. What are the bricks for, Billy?
2 bricks? I don't know. I don't know what you would do with 2 bricks.
Lime and bleach.
Yeah.
The bleach is probably for the blood or whatever, but the bricks are confusing here. Anyways, so Natasha's in custody, and she eventually starts just confessing.
Yeah.
And she starts singing. She's
She starts telling one of the officers, obviously, the first thing she's going to say is that I'm pregnant with Marcus's child.
As one does.
But the article that we pulled this info from, they weren't able to confirm whether or not that was true or not.
And then we never saw anything again
in any of the
other research.
Yeah.
Right. So whether that's true or not, unsure. Don't know.
So she's charged with homicide. She's charged with tampering with evidence, abuse of a corpse, obstruction, and then criminal conspiracy on each count. Marcus is charged with first-degree murder, kidnapping, tampering with evidence, obstructing the administration of law, and abuse of a corpse and conspiracy. And they're both held in York County Prison. No bail, and they're waiting a preliminary hearing.
Yikes. All right, so what do we think as far as motives? All right, well, let me just point one thing out. Is that so Natasha was... All right, let's talk about how James Horn, Sammy's new boyfriend, was the first target. And it's like, as Natasha, I was like, you want to kill your ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend? Like, why am I...
Do you think that she was just going along with it to kind of get the other people involved? Because it's like from Natasha's mind, she obviously just wants to get rid of any sort of threat in her relationship with Marcus.
Which is why she wanted to get rid of Lacey more than Sammy. Because Lacey's pregnant currently.
Yeah.
She's probably the most recent ex.
Yeah.
Sammy had a baby. The baby was a year old. So that's like a lesser threat because it's like...
Yeah.
A year has passed.
But maybe she was just jumping on the bandwagon if he like hated this James Horn guy. And it was like, okay,
we'll do
him.
And then
we'll do them too.
Yeah, but James Horn, it just means that he still cares about Sammy.
Oh, definitely.
For sure. Yeah. But the fact that she'd be like, cool, you're angry at your old...
Right.
Alexis, people are very young.
I know, but wouldn't you be like, why are you so angry?
Let's go back to that then.
I don't think like that.
All right. So when you were a 17-year-old...
Yeah.
And if you were with a boy that you liked, and the boy said, I want to kill my ex-girlfriend's boyfriend...
Yeah.
And you were really, really into him, what would you do?
I mean, I... wouldn't go along.
I understand that.
Also, they were 21.
Okay, all right.
So they're not 16.
But still, it's like you're younger. But it's okay. Obviously, motive is just jealousy in everybody's weird way, not understanding the consequences of your action. Like the fact that they had 15,000 text messages between the two of them talking about this murder. But then also being like, well, maybe we shouldn't be texting about it. It's like they just don't understand the severity of what they're going to do.
No. Or maybe they never intended to do it. I mean, I feel like once they start buying stuff, I feel like, I mean, the 15,000 text messages,
yeah.
Maybe some of them, once you start buying shit, it gets real.
It can be construed as that. And that's one of the reasons why that, you know, with Hansen versus Predator and all that stuff.
What is that?
They always, Hansen with the
To
Catch a Predator, but it was called Hansen versus Predator on Crime Watch Daily.
No,
it was. Well, it was. So the last version of it was.
I don't remember it.
So they always would tell the perps who were coming to bring stuff. So they would
the wine coolers, condoms, cookies, and then the girl would have cookies or
balloons,
lemonade.
You know, so they would always bring Mike's Hard Lemonade and McDonald's
and condoms.
And then they would come in because that showed intent. So yeah. I hear what you're
and
saying.
And it corroborated the text messages.
Exactly. So so bringing that, it's not just like, oh, I was just messing around with the text messages. Seeing them actually buying stuff. Mm-hmm. That is like, all right, that's one step closer to you really want to do
this
thing.
Yeah, it's not just this like sick, twisted fantasy between the two of them.
Exactly. And I did ask Brooke why she thought each of them, what each of their roles were. Like, why did Marcus want to kill Sammy? And how did Natasha get involved? And to what degree was she involved?
I think that it was probably a mix of anger and jealousy. Going back to just Marcus's personality as a whole, really quiet, but you definitely got that air of aggression. So I think he probably was just angry that I don't exactly know how him and Sammy split up, but I think he was probably angry that they weren't together anymore and angry that he had this baby with her and that she was kind of moving on and leaving that piece of her life behind. And then I think just touching back on Natasha, like I said, growing up, she was always really insecure. And I think she just found Marcus, who was able to at least convince her that he loved her so much and he was the best thing for her. And I think she really just kind of fed into that. And she believed that that was the best that she could get and that he was everything she needed. And I think she really was just willing to do anything in her power to keep Marcus in her life. And so I think that's probably how she justified it and how she got herself involved in that mess, was just that little bit of teenage girl insecurity mixed with having that manipulative relationship. From what I read, he kind of lured her in with the baby, saying that the baby needed her. And I don't personally have any kids, but I am one of six sisters. And so I just can't even, like, it makes me sick every time I even think about it, because no one is just not going to go. And then, I don't know, just her family seemed so, like, they didn't even know where to put that grief. There was just so much surrounding it. I didn't know Sammy, but of course, like I said, at that time, I mean, Facebook was huge, so I was getting kind of the facts from these news articles, but also the reaction from people that knew her, people that didn't know her, people kind of from all sides of this story, and it just seemed like the entire town, even extending past that to the town where she was from, just seemed like they were grieving her, not only for her life, but also just the circumstance, because that is something that I think really could happen to any young woman or man with a child. I mean, you say they need you and you're going to go. Yeah, the nature of the way that Marcus killed Sammy is intense. I mean, stabbing someone that many times is not you stab someone once and a lot of people are like, oh shit, what did I just do? But to stab them that many times in a row is almost, I feel like you almost have to be in a state. You're not in your right mind when you do that. And so just imagining all of that play out is really like the most intense part of it for me.
Marcus goes to trial first and initially pleads not guilty to the charges against him, including first-degree murder, kidnapping, tampering with evidence, obstructing the administration of law, abuse of a corpse, and conspiracy. But due to the cruel and gruesome nature of the crime and the conspiracy and planning, he was facing the death penalty.
That is the sound of the death penalty facing it. Yeah, that's stressful.
Yay.
The death penalty, though, in fact, is not that common in Pennsylvania. So, but what this says is like they're taking it really seriously because it was such a brutal, disgusting thing to do.
Yeah.
So I got the notifications whenever something new came out, but really it kind of stressed me out imagining her in this situation, someone my own age that shared a lot of characteristics that we did all these things together. It kind of like gave me an overall sense of anxiety anytime I thought about it. So I didn't follow it incredibly closely. I did check in on it every few months to see what had been decided for both of them, but mostly kind of on the side of Natasha. And then, of course, when they started throwing around the death penalty for Marcus, I kind of started following a little bit more closely because I know that's not a super common punishment in Pennsylvania. So definitely was interested in seeing how all of that played out. I haven't exactly made up my own opinion on the death penalty yet, but I don't think it would have been unfair, especially just how many lives he really affected, not just him and Natasha and Sammy and the baby, not just the people directly involved in this crime, but also all of the people in Sammy's life, all of the people in Natasha's life that he took these two from. And so I don't think it would have been an unfair punishment, but I don't know that I can say that I think he deserved it. But definitely was a little bit shocking to imagine somebody that I knew up against that death penalty.
So as Jack, she had a premonition about it, and she predicted that due to the fact that the death penalty was on the table,
the psychic,
Marcus pled guilty to the charges against him, presumably to avoid that. So he was ultimately sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the first-degree murder of Sammy Young. He was also sentenced concurrently to 10 to 20 years for conspiracy to commit obstruction of justice and 6 to 12 months for abuse of a corpse. So he's not getting out of jail.
Mm-mm.
But he did decide to speak in court after sentencing, and he said that he hopes his guilty plea and sentence will help bring closure to Sammy's family, continuing, quote, "I refuse to seek professional help out of shame for what other people would think of me. I'm truly sorry for my selfish choices. I have searched the depths of myself. I can't say how or why I let myself commit this unbearable act."
Natasha also pleads guilty to criminal conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, obstructing the administration of law. She was sentenced to 12 and a half to 25 years. And the jail time for Natasha and Marcus doesn't bring Sammy back. And now Marcus and Sammy's baby has no parents. And that, I mean, that's the biggest travesty of like the entire story. And Lacey Sauer was, again, still pregnant. And he's sure just left a trail.
Yeah, so he's got a baby with Sammy, who now has no family. Sammy was 21 years old, and I mean, Lord knows what kind of future she could have had.
Yeah.
Natasha's life is ruined. I mean, she's involved. I'm not absolving her responsibility in this, but Lacey's pregnant with his baby, and her baby doesn't have a father, and his actions have a ripple effect that TBD on that, you know, like parents, children without supervision, without parents, you know, have more likelihood of getting into trouble themselves. It's just a fact.
Absolutely. And the idea that, you know, this is, even though they were 21, it's young love. Mm-hmm. Doing anything you can for the person that you love. And this is somebody that, these weren't 20-year relationships. These were fairly newer relationships.
Yeah.
What do you guys see with that? Have you guys ever been in a relationship where you were just like, you know what? I was so into this guy. Yeah, if he would have told me to do something, not necessarily murder, but possibly murder, I would have been like, yeah, go ahead and do it.
No.
I don't think so.
I was never in love. Well, number one, that would just never happen in my mind.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I also was never in love when I was young. Or I was never in like a crazy, all-encompassing situation like that when I was that young.
I was between, like, Jack, you observed one of my relationships that I was just like...
Yeah, you were all in.
All in, but... Not there was nothing in there was unhealthiness in that, like, I was in love with him.
It was like a masochistic unhealthiness. Yeah, it wasn't like you committed murder.
No, but he wasn't even a shitty enough guy for that. Like, there was no one asking anyone to do anything illegal.
And that's like, I mean, it comes down to common sense that, God forbid, it's like you'd get involved with somebody that would talk about that. It would just be like, okay, bye.
It's unspeakable.
Yeah. I mean, we look at the one. The thing that's reminding me here, and is completely different, but when you think about the one story that they make us read, that make everybody read in junior high or high school, is Romeo and Juliet, right? Mm-hmm. And you got you didn't?
I didn't have to read that.
Why?
You didn't?
Okay.
I read The Color Purple and like A Mice and Men. I didn't read that one.
All right. Well, we read Romeo
Actually,
and Juliet.
I remember reading it.
Yeah.
We know it, but I think that was
I think I just watched
your
the
time.
Movie.
That was in my time. In the 1500s.
You said it, not me.
You experienced it real time.
Are you Romeo?
No, I'm not. Romeo dies. That's the thing. Spoiler alert. Romeo dies.
How
she dies too, because they both decide through a weird, wacky set of circumstances that if they can't be with each other, they should just kill themselves. And it's so strange that they let us read those books. And I wonder if they're letting kids read those books
they're
now.
They're not. They stopped because we didn't read them. Jared, did you? Jared says no also.
Because it's like, hey, this is what
read Romeo and Juliet.
This is what you
do. I think it's a suicide.
Yeah.
This is what you do. And I remember they had us watch the Zeffirelli movie, which was great because it was this eighth grade. They have us watching the Zeffirelli movie, and there is a total boob shot, and there's a butt shot in there. And my teacher was so embarrassed. She was like so upset. And just like, how did you not know that this was here? But everything was just like PG back then.
Don't know what Zeffirelli is, but really into the Guy Ritchie.
Baz Luhrmann.
The Baz Luhrmann one was good.
I didn't know that there was another one.
It was My So-Called. It was the sequel to My So-Called Life.
I was wrong.
What was Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah.
Why was it the sequel?
Because it had Claire Danes in it.
Oh, I was like thinking of Jared Leto. I was like, he wasn't in that movie.
No. Jordan Catalano was not in that movie.
He was not.
He was in the Joker movie, which he's not the Joker anymore, by the way. He decided to give out that role. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said no.
Oh, I didn't really think of that because I don't care.
Yep, exactly.
Story of Jack's life in a good way. In that, so, but basically, though, we get back to, this is something I talked to Brooke about over and over, in that, like, what sucked them in? Like, what sucked Natasha in? And it was, like, insecurity, first boyfriend, you know?
Maybe you're so impressionable at that age, and it's, like, you're figuring out if it's your first love, you're, like, trying to traverse that, and you have all these, like, hormones and feelings, and
your brain's not developed.
It's a mess.
And I think it's a matter of, like, they're children dealing with very adult things. And that, like, the fact that, like, Natasha's 5-year on-again, off-again relationship boyfriend, he's having a baby with someone and they
multiple.
Get someone else pregnant. Those are very adult, serious things with a juvenile mind.
Right.
And you're, like, your reactions to that, like, as an adult, I'm a level-headed person and that would still be really upsetting.
Yeah.
If, like, someone cheated on me and got someone pregnant. And imagine a really erratic, untrained emotional mind. I mean, I think she's just acting through her feelings, and it's like, I wish that person didn't fucking exist.
Right.
You know, because imagine, I mean, that would be really hard for any of us in this room.
Yeah.
Jerry. Jack. And Billy.
But that's the thing. It's just like with that snowball, though. It's like you saying that once and then opening up that door, And then as that, as the snowball goes out the door and it keeps rolling down the hill and you start planning and you start doing this, and it's like, how do you pull away from that?
Well, and I also wonder at what point, especially on her end, like at one, what point did it go from kind of like, again, like fantasy, conspiracy, like kind of like, you know, this will probably never happen. And then all of a sudden you're
buying lime.
Like now you're too far.
You're buying lime.
And I wonder for her, it's like, did she ever want to back out? But then again, she was the one that kept saying, don't do it without me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, did she want to stop? Did she not want it to happen? So she's like, don't, you know.
But, I don't, but it doesn't
but like,
seem
like
did
he
it.
Have so much control that she's like, I don't want to go against this plan? Because
I love him.
And it's also like mutiny. Like, he'll stop trusting me. Maybe I'll kill. Dude, he's trying to kill all of his girlfriends. What? He's coming after you next.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. But the idea that like, Jack and I text all the time. We vent, whatever. I'm like, I want to fucking kill so-and-so.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking.
In a child's mind, like, does it start there?
Yeah.
And then it goes to like, yeah, okay, but how would we do it? If we talked about this in the Thad Reynolds case.
Yeah.
Way back where Thad and Michelle, I think her name was like, haha, we'd poison their spaghetti. Like, and it starts with this like hypotheticals, like harmless. Right. We'd never actually do it.
Yeah. When does it cross the line into
when
actual
you buy
plans.
Something?
Yeah.
Well, is it when you buy something? That's a really interesting question. So
it becomes tangible.
When you guys are texting each other and saying, I want to kill this person.
We don't do this a lot.
Yeah, sure you don't.
Jack just is like, who cares? I'm like, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, just don't think about them anymore. But,
I'm like, you're right. You're right. Okay.
And then sometimes you might say, what if there was an accident or something like that? But
no.
But getting more.
Of course, Billy would.
Billy's projecting
us. That's a line from Seinfeld. Come on. But when it goes to, you're exactly right. When you go towards something that is showing intent, which is purchasing something or Googling something.
Like, how long does it take to die when, you know?
Yeah.
But I wonder if you're not a psychopath and like you have human emotions and you understand, I hope that they understand the consequences of an act like murder. Like, what are you thinking when you're doing that? When you are typing in those words?
Yeah. And I think if it's just the person, I think they would pull back. I think if it's because it's two people, then it's
shared.
I think Marcus is the...
Yeah, but it's just sort of, I think they're playing off each other and they don't necessarily want, nobody wants to tell the other person that they're punking out.
Yeah, but for the sake of just conversation, these are all people in Marcus's orbit.
Yeah.
These are none of Natasha's people.
Yeah.
It's not like Natasha's ex like this is Marcus's other girlfriend who's pregnant.
And his other girlfriend.
And his girlfriend who has a baby with it. And like the girlfriends, it's like these aren't Natasha's people. And I feel like she's responsible. And I'm not absolving her of her role in this. But I feel like she's been emotionally hijacked and that she's so committed to this. Mm-hmm. And like, she's a child and was like, whatever he wants type of thing. And he's obviously, what's so interesting is they talk about him being so small or whatever, but like, he's got all these women fucking wrapped around his finger.
To me, the way it reads is that maybe they did talk about it casually in the way that, like I said, sometimes people are angry and they say things that they obviously don't mean and would never follow through for most people. I think that it probably started as that and then spiraled and then almost felt like it was something that he had to do. And that's kind of how it reads to me. And then I think Natasha maybe was naive and immature and didn't realize it was going to happen until it did. And then she was involved and didn't really have a way out. I think the most tragic piece of this would have to be just the vulnerability that Sammy had, I guess, the situation she was put in. And it's such an easy one that anyone would do. Any person with a child, with a niece, a nephew, even someone says they need you and you go. And you don't go thinking you're going to get killed, thinking that this person that is supposed to love that child as much as you do is planning to hurt or kill you for whatever reason. I think just the fact that it wasn't random, but it really could happen to anybody, is just the most tragic piece of this. And then now that baby is left without a mother or a father and kind of has to carry this weight that she shouldn't have ever had to carry.
So, of course, Sammy's family was devastated by losing her, and they decided to pay tribute to her in a really cute and special way.
It was a group of us. It was my aunt, my brother, which is Samantha's brother, and my one stepsister. We just decided we wanted to get something before Samantha's funeral. So we each got the domestic violence tattoo. My brother got one with punching bags on top of it on his chest. My stepsister got one on her ankle with beads around. And I just got one with a halo just because she's up there watching us.
I'll never forget Sammy, but it's a constant remembrance of the fight that she went through to go through this horrible. And it's for somebody else to look at and remember. It's a constant remembrance of her to be there with us.
And I didn't get a date because I don't want to remember the day she passed away or anything like that. I just want to remember her as the unique, colorful phoenix that she is. Well, I cried on the way home after my tattoo, and I look at it a lot and think about it. It means a lot.
So the question obviously is, it's always, could this be prevented? Because takeaway on this podcast is very important.
She was really insecure. I think Marcus was really her first boyfriend, and just kind of pulled her in, and she believed it. And I think that comes from that just young immaturity and insecurity. I think if she had met him now, maybe she would not have had that same feeling. She probably wouldn't have believed that that was the end all be all for her, but we were so young when she met him and so young when this crime occurred that I really think it can be chalked up to just that immaturity and insecurity that is in so many high school girls. Yeah, not that there's any one thing that could have stopped this, but I think that the relationship was ongoing. It was a long relationship between Marcus and Natasha, and there were all those pretty stereotypical red flags of manipulation and emotional abuse. And I think that if we taught more people about it and we made it less of a taboo topic, I think if more people knew what to look for and knew what resources were out there for people who are in those situations, it could have maybe been stopped if there was someone who knew more into how Natasha felt about herself or how Marcus had become such a big piece of her life, such a force in her life, then maybe they could have helped her through that, helped her gain that confidence that she realized, hey, I don't need to be involved in with someone who has these thoughts, who has these feelings and wants to do these actions. I think that if we just knew a little bit more about what to look for and how to help people when we do see it, I think that would be the cautionary tale, if any.
And Brooke mentioned, she doesn't know if it could be prevented. She thinks Natasha's involvement could have been. Natasha's, the loss of her future could have been spared.
Right. And I guess the question on my mind is, do you think if Natasha wasn't involved and kind of egging him on is the wrong word, but like supporting him.
Enabling
him. Would the outcome have been the same? Yeah. Or do you think that he would have?
And that's always the question that you have with couple killers.
Yeah.
Is that would they have done this on their own? You see that with Charles Starkweather and Carolyn Fugate, which was the subject of the song Nebraska from Bruce Springsteen. I know that Jared knows the song Nebraska from Bruce Springsteen, but you guys
Jared's
probably
nodding.
Don't.
I don't know.
But even like the Barbie killers. I mean, yeah. It's always, would they have done this? Was this a combustible thing where there were these two ingredients that were benign by themselves, mm-hmm. and then they get together and then they become explosive?
Yeah, I'd be interested to see more of those text message exchanges between them. To see who seemed like they were kind of like leading the conversation.
Well, and it's one of those things where it's like these were all people in kind of Marcus's thing, like Marcus's girlfriends,
Marcus's
or the boyfriend.
World.
Right. But like, did Natasha's jealousy of these people also feed into it?
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, yeah, because we were kind of talking about that before, where obviously he's more to blame
for many reasons. But
well, as he was there and Natasha wasn't there when it happened.
Right, as he was the one that
stabbed
her.
So it was kind of fantasy for her until she helped after the fact. Helping to move the car and helping to buy stuff to clean it up.
Yeah.
Is bad. And you're also kind of in survival mode of like helping your man, like Bonnie and Clyde. And I'm probably, you're feeling really bonded and tight at those moments. You're like, your baby mama's gone. It's disgusting. But when you actually look at who did what, I mean, there's a reason he got life without parole and she got 12 to 25 years.
Of course. Yeah.
And they're probably taking all this into account.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, none of us feel good about this case. And it's another example of this domestic violence. I'm not going to call it a trend because it's not a trend. It's been happening since the beginning of time. And we see it. We see a peak of it in most of the cases we cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never okay. And it's never going to be okay. And we're happy to shed light on it. Sammy didn't have to die. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Her daughter didn't have to not have a mom. Lacey's kid didn't have to not have
a dad.
You know, and it's just stop domestic violence. I mean, it's so depressing. Like, imagine losing your life at 21. You don't get to do anything.
Oh my gosh, you don't realize how young you are.
Yeah.
How did our first degree connection reach out to us?
Brooke, I think, found us on Instagram.
All right.
Or email. I can't remember, you guys. It all blends together. But Brooke, we appreciate you so much. Thank you. You were an incredible interview, and we all really appreciate it.
Yeah. We actually really enjoy covering these lesser known cases and bringing light to stories that might have otherwise been forgotten. So reach out to us. If you have a story, and leave us a review on iTunes because we are in the thousands.
Alexis Lingler cannot be stopped. Contrary to.
She cannot be stopped.
Contrary to our reviews.
Yeah, she can't. Until next time, keep your friends close, but not that close.
Happy Manatee Day.
Oh, the manatees.
Save the manatees.